Psalms 30, the Lord is worthy. Amen.
Some things that I love about Christmas, and I think you're going to be maybe surprised about what they are, but how many of y'all love Christmas time? Don't you love Christmas and what it means to us? And when we think about Christmas and we think about what the Lord has done for us, no matter what the circumstances that we may be facing in life, whether it's the Bible says in Romans 8, things present, things to come, whether it's death, the issues of life, that we don't have to carry fear. We don't have to carry pressure or concern, because it says there in Romans 8 that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall be able to. And so when we think about Christmas, you know, we think about the virgin birth and we think about what happened there. But, you know, of course, we have to understand that the virgin birth carried on over into the life and ministry of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, which ultimately brought the new birth to mankind. We understand that. But when we think about Christmas, we have to think about, you know, the word Christ. You know, if you take Christ out of Christmas, you only have a mass. And really, that I'm not trying to be funny there. Really, the word Christmas means the anointed mass. The word Christ means the anointed one, and the mass, of course, means the gathering or the group of people. The word Christmas means the anointed mass. It means the anointed, where we are gathered together. We are the anointed of the Lord. And when you think about Christmas, you have to think about the anointing of God. You have to think about the contact that God made with man when he came and said, "For unto us a child is born, a Savior is given," that God is among us, that God came and is now among us. And you say, well, where is he? He is here in the presence of the anointing of God. He's here by the name of Christ. He is here by Jesus being present in us. He is here by the fact that when we receive him, he does a complete change and work in our hearts. Which leads me to the point that one thing that I love about Christmas is Christmas to me means expectation. And I have discovered over the years that God meets me where my expectation is. If I don't have expectation of good, it almost like it thwarts what God wants to do in my life. But with Christmas, when Christ came and it was God with us, it gives me a confident expectation of good. I have a confident expectation of good. And you know, in the life of ministry and pastoring, you don't always deal with or see the good. You see things that happen in people's lives. You see problems that happen in people's lives, difficulties. You deal with death. You deal with divorce. You deal with all sorts of things that people have to deal with. But even in those troubles, even in those problems, I have a confident expectation of the good of God. And I know that God is waiting to meet us where our expectation is. And I want to ask you a question. Are you expecting God to move in your life? Are you expecting him? Yes. See, has life thrown so much at us that we have a tendency to bow away from expectations? But the question we have to ask ourselves, are we expecting God to do something great? You know, we look at all of the stuff going on in the world, and that can have a tendency to pull that expectation out of you. But you know what? It doesn't matter what happens in the world. I'm expecting God to do something great. I'm expecting God to do something good. If God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, he sent him to be with us, why would he forsake us in life? I'm expecting God to do something good. I'm expecting, even, listen to this, even if our time comes and we all pass away, you know what? We still have the hope of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Can you see that? I mean, even if the situation got that dire, there is still a confident expectation of good. Are you expecting things to change for your favor? See, are you expecting that? Do you have, see, Christmas means to me a confident expectation of good. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we expecting the favor of the Lord? Are you expecting in the morning when you go to that checkout line or you go to do business or you go to work, are you expecting favor with your employer? Are you expecting favor in life? Do you get up in the morning and say, Father, thank you that I have favor. Thank you that you're not mad at me. Thank you that I'm growing in your grace and your wisdom and your favor rests upon me. And when you're dealing in life and you're dealing in circumstances and situations, are you thinking, the favor of God is upon me? He's not mad at me. He's not nitpicking at my life. He's not condemning me. He's not trying to find fault with me. He is only there for the favor to be upon my life. He only wishes good things for my life. He's only looking so that good can come into my life. See, do we have that expectation of favor? Do we expect to have mediocrity? Or do we expect to have significance in our lives? Do we expect to be people of mediocrity? Or do we expect to be people that make a significant change in this earth because of that grace and that favor that's upon our lives? Those are some questions that I want us to think about. As we go through this message today, I want us to think about those questions. Do we have a confident expectation of good? Are we expecting God to do something miraculous and good in our lives? Do we expect things to change in our favor? Do we expect to have favor in our lives? Are we looking with confident expectation for good from God? Are we expecting God to do something good in our lives? Are we expecting that today when we leave here? Are we expecting that in spite of all the failures, in spite of the mistakes, in spite of all the problems that we have created in our own lives? Are we expecting God to do something good for us? Are we thinking, Lord, your mercies are new every morning? Lord, you're not mad at me today. You're not looking for a way to condemn me or to catch me. You're telling me, go and sin no more and go and follow your heart and follow me so that the good things that I desire for you can happen in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand before the Lord. Father, stand up here with me. Father, we are coming before your throne today. Yes. With our expectors turned on, Lord. We are expecting you today to minister life to us. We are fully believing and thanking you, Father, in advance that you are meeting us here today to bring life, wisdom, revelation, knowledge, insight, concepts, ideas to our lives that will change us. Lord, we look to your throne today, the throne of grace and mercy. We look to your compassion today, Lord, to bring healing touches to people in their lives that are hurt physically or wounded spiritually, Lord. We're looking to you, the great balm of Gilead, the great healer, the great physician, to bring life to us today. And we thank you, Lord, as we turn on our expectations of you, Lord, that all things are possible with you. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. We look to you, Father. You are the great God of heaven and earth. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Colossians 1:27. Look at it with me. Colossians 1:27. This is the great mystery of the gospel. This is the great mystery of the good news of God. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ must. Christ mass. Christ mass. The anointed mass has gathered together and Christ is in us. That is what Christmas means to me. It is so delightful for me to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. That word there, the word hope means confident expectation of good. We have a confident expectation of good. If Christ is in us, that is a confident expectation of the great things that God has planned for us. If Christ will come and dwell in us and God, we will be God's temple, we can rest assured that he is going to redeem our lives. Can you say amen? The issue with this is we need to see it through the eyes of faith. We need to listen. we need to cast down ungodly imaginations. You know, the Bible didn't say, now listen to me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible didn't say to cast down imaginations. It said to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, if imaginations weren't an issue, if imaginations weren't something that's very serious with God, listen to me now, then pornography would not be a problem. Imaginations are very serious with God. But he didn't say cast down imaginations. He said cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those are the imaginations that we cast down. But there are a great number of imaginations that you need to hold in your heart. The imagination, the image on the inside of you that says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Oh, hold on to that. Hold on to that inward image. Hold on to that image. Can you say amen? Hold on to the image that he bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. Hold on to the image that it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Hold on to those good images. We're not casting down every imagination. We're casting down any imagination that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is demonstrated through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that says who you and I are. We're more than conquerors. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can you see that? We need to understand. Listen, imaginations are a very serious issue. That's why pornography and illicit things and things that create those images in your mind are wrong. Because they rob the knowledge of God. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't mean that everything about imaginations is wrong. If imagination is something that lines up with who you are in God, who Jesus bought and paid for you to be, that's a good thing. That's a good imagination. That's a good imagery that you have on the inside of you. That you see yourself by the eyes of faith. That you see yourself in the light of the knowledge who God has made you. That you see yourself as the righteousness of God. That you see yourself as more than a conqueror. That you see yourself as one that will overcome tomorrow. That you see yourself when you get up, that favor is going to be there on your life. And that God's going to meet you tomorrow and supply every need that you have. He's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you and watch over you because the blessing of Abraham is on you. Amen. Amen. That is the imagery we want to have. We want to guard our hearts against wicked and evil imaginations, but we want to see the imagery that God has in who we are. You have to see yourself on the inside, listen, and break out of the self prisons. We put ourselves in prisons that God never put us in. God never desired for us to be limited in our lives. He wants us to take the limits off of him and be all that he's called us to be. Man, I think about Stephanie here. Praise God, what a light to us. Going to school, getting her degree, working a working mother with three children, getting an education. What a blessing. What someone that's taking the victory that they have and doing something with it. I think about Jeremiah. Stand up there, Jeremiah. I didn't have Stephanie stand up because I didn't want to embarrass her, but I don't really care if you get embarrassed or not. Jeremiah, there's my son-in-law. Now think about it. Jeremiah could have stopped at mediocrity. He could have stopped it instead of being significant. He had a great job. He had a college degree, had a good job. But you know what? God stirred in his heart. I want you to further your education. I want you to go and get your master's degree. I want you to do something different with your life. I want you to go. I want you to take the limits off of me and let me do something in your life. Folks, listen to me. When I think about Christmas and the things that I love about Christmas, this is what it is. Because Christmas means Christ in us the hope of glory. It means that we can have the proper expectations of God. We can fully expect when you go out tomorrow, you can fully expect the favor of God to be on your life. Don't go into a bank. Don't go to work tomorrow without saying, God, I thank you that your favor is on me. I walk into a business and I have favor. They want to give me the best prices. They want to help me because the favor of the Lord is on me. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, when I think about the things that I love about Christmas, that's what I love about Christmas. Jesus made a way for us to have confident expectation of good. He made a way for us to have favor. He made a way for us not to see our lives as just mediocre people. He made a way for us to make a significance in life, no matter what your background is, no matter what your past is. You can make a difference now in your life. Amen. That's what I love. That's what I love about Christmas. I mean, I love that God is not limited. When you think about Jeremiah, I think about the virgin birth. What was the key to the virgin birth? Let me share a little story here with you. Zechariah was in the temple. He was a priest. He was John's father, John the Baptist's father. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "You and Elizabeth are going to have a child." And Zechariah, who was the priest of God and should have been believing God and doing the things of God, said, "How can this thing be so?" And the angel shut up his mouth, which I'm convinced it was an unbelieving mouth. He had to shut it up. That's why your words are so important, what you say about your life. He shut Zechariah's mouth up and said, "Because you've not believed the Lord, your mouth's going to be closed." He couldn't speak. Here we go, and then it says in the same chapter on down a few verses, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary. And the angel of the Lord said, "Behold, the thing in your womb is conceived of God." And she said, "Okay, be it unto me according to thy word." Hallelujah. What was the difference? What was the difference? What was the difference between Zechariah and Mary? The difference was Mary said, "Yay, Lord, whatever your word says about me, that's what I'm going to say about me." Zechariah had his mouth shut. He couldn't talk. He couldn't do anything because he didn't believe what the angel of the Lord came and told him. And you get some people that'll say, "Well, if an angel would appear to me, I'd believe." No, no, no. You have to believe the word. What does the word say about you? What does the word say you are? What does the word say about the resurrection of the dead? What does the word say about eternal life? What does the word say about the hope that we have in this life? What does the word say about the grace and the favor of God being on your life when you're at school tomorrow? What does the word say about that? See, what does the word say about us having favor and taking the limits off of God? Listen to what Mary said. She said, that angel said and told her, said, Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And then the angel said, "With God, all things are possible." With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I think the thing we have to question is, are we with God? Where in our lives are we connected with Him? Where in our lives are we walking His path and doing His way? Amen? Can you see that? You can't be complacent or comfortable where you are, folks. I want to tell you, don't be complacent where you are. No matter if you're retired, listen to me. If you're a senior and retired, you can do more for the kingdom of God than you ever were able to do because now you've got more time to devote to it. Do you know the word says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God"? It didn't say to seek only the kingdom of God. Do you ever think about that? He said, put it first. Because see, if you sought only the kingdom of God and that was all you wouldn't have time for your children, for your family to do the other things that God ordained. He didn't say, he said, put it first. He didn't say, put it second. He said, put it first. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, put it only. You know, there's a lot of people that only seek the kingdom of God. And you know, if that's all that you're thinking, you know, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. We want to be both. We want to be both. We want to be earthly good and heavenly minded. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Something else I love about Christmas. You know, you can't soar with the eagles if you peck with the chickens. I want to say that again. You can't soar with the eagles if you peck with the chickens. And what I mean by that is the way you see yourself. You know, your past is your past. And your past is past. That's one thing I love about the kingdom of God. That's one thing I love about Christmas. It means that your past is past. And if you see yourself as a chicken, and you see yourself living in a hen pen, if you see yourself in a self-prison of your chicken coop, and you can't get any further, and all you're doing is pecky, you're never going to soar with the eagle. God wants you to soar with the eagles. He said, mount up with wings like eagles. He said, you shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. We'll soar with wings of eagles. That's what the word and the promise of the Lord is to us. Your past is your past. You know, if you're born again and you have struggles with your past, it's only because the battlefield is in your mind. It's not with God. Amen. You know, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, out of bondage, and God got them out of Egypt. But you know what? He had a hard time getting Egypt out of them. Amen. God has redeemed your life. He's redeemed you from poverty, sickness and disease, fear, confusion, anger, worry. He's delivered us from all of that. But you know what? He's got the time to get that out of us. Because we're looking, we have a tendency to want to look at the world. Listen, let's don't peck with the chickens. Let's soar with eagles. Let's let the past go. Can you say amen? Let the past go. Listen, we need to be a group of people that will stop what has happened in past generations with us. If you came from a divorced family, or you came from a family that was in poverty, or you came from this background or that background, listen, you can be the person that will rise up and say, it stops with this me. This failure, this poverty mentality stops with me. The way I look at life is going to change. The generational curses and the things that life wants to bring to me are stopped by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the line that is drawn, and the generational curses and the things that keep wanting to follow me, whether that's physiologically, logically, socially, mentally, spiritually, anyway, they're stopping. Those curses are stopping because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I tell you what, I don't know about y'all, but see, that's what I love about Christmas. I love Christmas because, man, it brings hope. It brings confident expectation. It takes the limits off God. It gets us past our past. Amen. If you're struggling with your past, let me tell you what to do. Take a dose of righteousness. Just say, Lord, I take a dose of righteousness. I take your righteousness. You were made sin. You were made sin so that I could be made righteous. So I'm going to take a dose of your righteousness. I'm going to start believing that I'm the righteousness of God. My past is my past. There's not anything I can do about it. There's not anything anybody else can do about it. It's done. But I am recognizing I am the righteousness of God, and I'm not going to let that shame and that condemnation follow me. That shame and that condemnation stops because the Word says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit. And that's what you're doing when you accept that righteousness. You are walking after the Spirit at that point. Amen. Your past is past. That's what I love about Christmas. Thank God. That's why I want to put up a Christmas tree. That's why I want to hang the lights. That's why I want the poinsettias and the garlands. Hallelujah. Because it reminds me my past is past. Past generational things are past. My mistakes, my failures are past. Folks, I'm telling you, I am speaking this by the Spirit of God. Now listen, this is not Ron. This is the Holy Ghost talking to you. This year, coming year, 2012 for Living Hope Church is going to be light, life, refreshing, hope, prosperity, peace, goodness coming our way. Amen. Woo, I receive that, Lord. Glory to God. I receive that word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I love Christmas time. Don't y'all love Christmas? Amen. Makes me want to sing Joy to the World again. Hallelujah. Christmas time. What else do we love about Christmas? Listen, I'm accepted. That's what I love about Christmas. I don't have to try to work to gain acceptance. I am accepted. Let me share this line with you. I don't serve or do the word for acceptance. I do it from acceptance. Did you hear that? Kim doesn't run this food pantry for acceptance. She knows she's accepted. She knows she's loved. But she's doing it from acceptance. Can you see that? We know that we are accepted. We're treated better than we deserve. You know why? Because of our Father. You know, I don't know if many of y'all listen to Joel Osteen. I was listening to Joel Osteen one time, and you know, many people don't understand that Joel Osteen, he pastors that massive church down there in Texas, but it was started by his father, John Osteen. And John, what a precious man of God John Osteen was. But they were a large church, and they started in a feed mill. They started like we did, just in little grew, you know. And Joel was telling the story one time about him leaving the church property, and he pulled out on the highway there by the church, and he was speeding. And he said he got pulled over, you know, and the police officer pulled him over, and the police officer saw his name there on his license, driver's license, and said, "Are you any relationship to that John Osteen?" And Joel said he thought about it just a minute. He said, "Well, I don't know if I am or not." He said, "What do you mean you don't know if you are or not?" He said, "Well, it depends on whether you like him or not." And he said, "Well, I just happen to really like John Osteen." He said, "Well, I'm his son then." He said the man didn't give him a ticket. Why? Because of his father. You're not in trouble today because of your father. You're getting better than you deserve because of your father. We're getting better than we deserve because of our Father. It's not because we've done something good. It's because of what He's done good. Can you see that? I tell you, we are accepted, folks. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted because of what Jesus Christ did. We are accepted because He took us out of the realm of humanism, where it's not by human effort or strength, but it's by His grace alone. It's by us, listen, it's by us not rejecting our acceptance. Oh, accept your acceptance, hallelujah. Accept the fact that you get better than you deserve because of your Father. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? I tell you, I love Christmas time because it shows me that I am accepted. I have favor with God. The limits are off. My past is past. And I have confident expectation of good. I tell you, God is a good God. Amen. He is a good God for us. And you know why? What else I love about Christmas? Is I'm always covered. You know, love covers us. Everybody say, love covers me. Love covers you. You know, the word says in 1 Peter 4, I believe it's down around about the 10th verse, that love covers a multitude of sin. You are covered in the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, let me say this. We went through this era in the body of Christ where people were really taught about their covering in the Lord. There's the spiritual authority that was over them. Let me say this. That's very important. Did you know that? That's very important. You need to have a pastor. You need to have leaders and people over you in the Lord. You need to make that decision to have a church home. Not just a pastor. You know, the pastor's there. But I'm talking about being responsible people around you. Can you say amen? You need to make that decision in your life. But listen, there's no comparison to the fact of being covered by the blood, being covered by Jesus. Jesus can be your covering. He can cover you and take care of your life. He wants to cover you. Let me share this with you. 1 John 4:10 says this: "Herein is love, not that we loved God, not that we could do anything for Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John 4:10, that's what it says. That word propitiation is a big word, but it just simply means that Jesus was the appeasement of God's wrath toward us. The word says we have not been appointed unto wrath in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We have not been appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says we have been saved from wrath through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, we're covered by the love of God. You are accepted. You have been accepted in the Lord. I tell you, let's don't reject our acceptance and our covering. Let's let the Lord cover our lives. And out of that acceptance, we will bear fruit and do all the things that God wants done in our lives. 1 John 4:19 says this, says, "We loved Him because He first loved us." Can you say amen?
Amen.
We loved Him Because he first loved us. I tell you, I like Christmas because I have a confident expectation of good. I recognize that God is not limited. If the virgin can get pregnant and have a baby, God can take care of us.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. I recognize that my past is past. I recognize that, you know what? I am accepted. Jesus in Luke 4:19 says he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, when all debt was canceled. God is simply waiting on us to accept our acceptance. And then I recognize because of Christmas, I'm covered by love. We are covered by love, folks. Why wouldn't we want to celebrate like these children said? Why wouldn't we want to honor the Lord and thank him? He has done so much for us. He has made a way for us to have hope. Even in the midst of the most trying circumstances, we can have the confident expectation of good. Even when things may not look right on the outside, we know that Christ within us, the hope of glory. Oh, can you all say amen?
Amen.